Our new series is
Genesis.
And I titled the series The Beginning of the Great Story. And the reason I titled it this, when I was growing up, I read, would read my children's Bible and you'd have Sunday school lessons and stuff. And a lot of times you'd spend time in Genesis. And I got to know the stories pretty good, all the little stories. So when we'd play games in Sunday school or Bible trivia or something like that, I was pretty good at it. But what I was missing was all those things, all those little stories point to a bigger story being told. So I titled this The Beginning of the Great Story because Genesis, as we're going to see in the weeks ahead, it's all pointing towards the story of the Bible. And that is God dwelling with his people and redeeming them after they sin. So hopefully we will have some exciting Sundays together seeing how the little stories point to the big story, okay? So to start out, I want to share with you one of the best dates I've ever had with my wife. And she's not here to say, oh, and I get points, but we were living in New Jersey at the time, and we got a babysitter for a good part of the evening. Nice long date, so we took the train into New York City, and we had tickets to go to Radio City Music Hall, I think is what they call it. So we go out to eat, we go to Radio City, we walk in. It's really cool, right? You walk in and you're just like, wow. There's a theater, the stage is set, and we went to see Hans Zimmer. Have any of you heard of Hans Zimmer? He's a composer for a lot of the very popular movies and stuff. He's one of the biggest composers in the world for movies. So we're sitting there, and it starts out with just Hans playing on the piano. And shortly after that, a clarinetist comes out and starts playing with him. And more musicians start coming out, and each thing builds on the other. And you start to get this stirring inside of you, right? Like, wow, this is really good music. Just one person playing is good music, but as they add more, it just builds on more and more, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden the curtain lifts and the whole band is playing there together. Wow, this is awesome. And they play a couple songs and then another curtain lifts and there's the symphony behind it. And it just fills the whole theater. And it just gives you this feeling of more and more, some of the best musicians in the world are showing off the genius, creative mind of Hans Zimmer. They're making what he created as notes and making it come alive. And it just shows off how amazing of a composer he is. Now, the reason I'm telling you this, because when we go into Genesis, we're going to also see, oh, I had that to show you as well when the final curtain lifted, but when we open up Genesis, we're also going to see another theater, a stage being set, and in one sense, the musicians coming on stage and filling the theater with something, okay? So just kind of have that in your mind as we start going into Genesis 1. So before we start a new book, I always like to have an intro. What's this book about? Who wrote it? Who's it for? What's the purpose of it? So, does anyone here know the author of Genesis? It is Moses, okay? So, if Moses wrote this, this is taking years after what we're going to look at today. Moses is the author. The original recipients of this book are the Israelites, okay? And when was this book written? After they had left Egypt and they're wandering in the wilderness. That's when God spoke to Moses and inspired him to write about the beginning. Why did the author write this book? I put a couple dots here before the question mark because we're going to pause. We're not going to answer that right now. But it's really interesting. Why did Moses write this book for the Israelite people? Okay. Other important things to watch for as we go through Genesis, and we're going to go over this Sunday after Sunday as well, but here's a couple things that are important to be watching for. Poems, as we're reading, most of Genesis is a narrative. It's telling a story, But then sometimes you'll see parts where the words are indented and it looks different than the rest. And those are poetry in the Hebrew language. So we're going to look for poems, and we're going to talk more about that as we go on this morning. And also types. So what are types? Again, like I was saying before, types are like, you know how I described the little stories, and they're all pointing to the big story of the Bible? Those little stories are types of the big story. And we're going to see lots of different types as we go through Genesis. They can be a person, place, or thing that is similar, yet different to a greater person, place, or thing. And I'm sure you guys have seen this kind of thing in Scripture before, but we're going to see it a lot in Genesis. So open up with me to Genesis 1. And we are going to read all of Genesis 1 and the first three verses in chapter 2, because I feel like those three verses go along with the whole first chapter. So my plan is to just read through this entire thing, and then we're going to go back and we're going to kind of look at some different verses and cover the chapter. So kids, this book is easy to find, right? It's right at the beginning. Page 1, right? All right. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters and that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the sea, the great sea creatures, and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts on the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the ground. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So why do we have this account? You guys, well, maybe some of your other Bibles, they added pictures in later, but when we think about God revealing how the earth was formed and created, he didn't give us a movie, did he? He didn't give us pictures. He gave us words. There were no eyewitnesses during these days. God gave us words. And if there was something better for us, God would have given us that instead. So we have to trust that these words that he gave us are what he wants us to have when we learn about creation. Now, you guys, did you notice anything about dinosaurs in here? Did I read anything about dinosaurs or any of those questions that you might have? Land animals, yeah, but that's pretty vague, isn't it? But we have a lot of questions when we think about the origins, don't we? What about the dinosaurs, right? What about the age of the earth? When it's talking about days, does it mean 24-hour literal days? But the thing is, this scripture that we read, this isn't a science book. This is revealed to us the way God wanted us to have it. So it's not going to answer all of our questions that we want, but we have to trust and know that what God gave us is good enough. Okay? So it's good to wonder and ask questions, but sometimes we don't have all the specifics. We just need to trust that what God revealed is good. You also notice this does not address evolution. The theory of evolution came the same year Minnesota became a state, 1858. So much, much later than the original recipients. Okay? So they didn't have, the original audience never heard of evolution. That's why it doesn't touch on that. So let's look at the first line. Because there's a lot packed in the very first line. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Hebrew, this is seven words, which is probably symbolic. There's a lot of sevens in the first chapter of Genesis. But in the beginning, so is this the beginning of all things?
Yes.
Kind of. Not the creator, right? So we have to think about that. In the beginning of what? The beginning of everything but God. Right? God always was and always is and always will be. So in the beginning, God. Did anyone count how many times I said the word God when I read through the scripture?
I didn't tell you to.
I didn't know if anyone would. But God is mentioned 35 times in the scripture that we read this morning. Now, why would Moses write God that many times? He's probably trying to make a point, right? We're introduced to the theater, but the main character is God, isn't it? Moses uses God 35 times in this scripture that we read, and it's meant to be overwhelming to make a point. And notice Moses didn't say God one or two times and then just said he after it, did he? He kept saying, and God said, and God did, and God created. He's wanting you to get this into your head. This is who we're talking about. This is the Creator God. Now, I touched on this probably a month or so ago, 2 months ago. God created here. This is, in the Hebrew, this is a plural word. But the created, the verb here that he created in Hebrew is singular. So right off the bat, Moses, I don't think, understood the Trinity the way we may see it today. But right from the beginning, Moses knew something. And he was writing it in the very first sentence of the scripture. So in the beginning, God created. Again, the Hebrew word created here is only used in the Bible when it's talking about God. It doesn't talk about when man creates something. This one is only when God creates. So God is separate in the way he creates. He doesn't have building materials and then puts things together. He just speaks, kids, and it's created. Isn't that cool? Think of all the things in nature that God just spoke into existence. He created them by speaking. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So how many of you have heard the phrase, she knows everything from A to Z? Right? You've heard that? It's what they're saying is, she knows everything. Okay? When God created the heavens and the earth, Moses is saying God created everything. Everything above, everything below. He created it all. He didn't have any help. And God brings things to order by his word and spirit. You notice in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit is waiting for God to speak so that he can move and act. What do we get? First day. Kids, what did God create on the first day?
Light.
Light, right? So God creates light. Now here's an interesting thing. I don't know if you kids picked up on. Was the sun there yet? No, God just created light, right? So the first day we have light created before the sun. So the sun is not a solution to the darkness. The solution to darkness we see later on in Scripture as well. If you guys want to look this up, I'm not going to read it now, but John 8:12, and especially Revelation 21:23-24. Light is the solution to the darkness, not the things that give off light. Okay? Now here's another thing I don't know if you guys picked up on. As I was reading, did you notice it says, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. Did you notice that? Isn't that a weird way of describing it? Wouldn't we normally say there was morning and then there was evening, that was the first day? But Moses is writing this way to make a point. Okay? The way, and you still see this in Jewish calendars today, what they consider a day. It starts when the sun goes down. Their day starts in the darkness and ends in the light. And I think what Moses is trying to drive here is light always has victory over the darkness. Right from the beginning of Scripture, he's wanting us to think that the light always has victory over the darkness. And now in verse 5, so it says, and there was evening and there was morning. And then what does it say? The first day. Is that what your guys' Bible says? The first day? Okay, in the Hebrew, this actually says a first day. Okay, so we're going to see this repetition as we keep moving along. But I want us to get this in our head right now. There was evening and there was morning, a first day. Okay, this will make sense later. So what do we get on the second day? God creates the water, right? The water in the heavens and the water below. God speaks things into existence. We also notice God being a God who separates. He separates things. Okay? He's making order to all this. Verse 8, and there was evening, and there was morning, and that should read a second day. Okay? I promise this will make sense later. The third day, what do we see, kids?
Dry
land appears, right? And what happens on the dry land? Plants, vegetation, fruit trees, all these things. Here's another interesting thing to think about. Moses is setting up his readers to know this. The seeds are sprouting on the third day. And as you read scripture carefully, you will notice certain things happen on the third day. Okay? Life happens on the third day. Fruitfulness happens on the third day. So from the beginning of scripture, the reader is prepared to see something happening on the third day. Okay? Verse 13, and there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. What do we get on the fourth day? Do you remember? The sun, the moon, the stars. Okay? The greater and lesser light, it's described as, and the stars. Now, why doesn't he write the sun, the moon? Think about the original audience again. They just came out of Egypt not that long ago, and the Egyptians would worship the sun and the moon, right? So I think what he's making a point when he's writing about this, and he's saying the greater light and the lesser light, I think he's wanting us to know that these aren't gods created. These are lights created from the God, from Creator. So he's wanting to make a distinction. These are not gods, and that's possibly why they're not named. Verse 19, again, we see, and there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. Henry, what do we get on the fifth day? This next picture is mine. I took this. This is one of my favorite pictures I took. Birds, right? Yes. Thank you, God, for making birds. All right, so the fifth day, God creates birds and also the fish and the creatures of the sea. Okay, he fills the sea, fills the sky with these animals, these birds and fish. And we notice, and it says God blessed them. So now he creates something that he wants blessed to do what? God's speaking blessing puts things into motion so his creatures can accomplish what he commanded, to be fruitful and multiply. So now we get things in creation that are called to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And then in verse 23, and there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. What do we get on the sixth day? It's another one of my pictures. Phoebe, I picked this one for you because of the cuteness back there. So, what do we get on the sixth day? God creates animals, right? Think of all the different animals in the world. God created those. He spoke them into existence. Livestock, cows, horses, sheep, creeping things, snakes, lizards, mice, beasts, right? Giraffes, buffalo, lions. Cool, right, Rowan? Yeah, all right. But think about this. All these creatures point to their creator. They say something about their creator, don't they? When an elephant walks by, we see something very big and powerful. Wow, God made that. God must be big and powerful. If you see a lamb or a deer, you might say, wow, God is very gentle. And if you see a platypus, you might say God has a sense of humor, right? And after making all these animals, God saw that it was good. And then there's a switch. Something happens after the animals on the sixth day. Instead of God saying, and let there be, all of a sudden in verse 26, we see God making something. And let us make, it says. God has a special connection with what he makes next. Verse 26, Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God makes something with his hands. He has a special connection with humans. And then you notice in verse 27, do you notice in your Bibles where it looks a little separate from the rest of the story? This is the first poem in the Bible. Why is this significant? Well, how many of you guys like musicals? Yes? A few of you? Okay. But think about it. A musical is a lot of times just, it's telling a story. There's actors acting this out or whatever. But what happens periodically throughout the musical? They break into song, right? And that a lot of times is what sticks in our mind, isn't it? The songs of the musical. You don't remember all the lines of the cast from beginning to end, but we tend to remember the songs. So imagine me telling you about my day, and I get to one point in my day, and I stand up on this podium, and I start singing a song about it, and then I get back down, and I tell you the rest of my day, and you would think, wow, that was different, wasn't it? And I'm going to remember what he sang about, because that was different. Okay, that's exactly what poetry is doing inside of a narrative right here. It's kind of the highlight. It's the song in the musical. It's what God wants us to remember and get a big point, his point across. So in verse 27, what does it say? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So whenever we're reading scripture and we see how it's written a little differently, just know that that's probably poetry. There's a main point in there that we need to take away. Okay? You also notice no other creature got a poem. There's something special about man. He got a poem. Okay? And also, you'll notice in Hebrew poetry, there's something called parallelism. Okay? Can you say that? Parallelism? Okay, you'll notice what parallelism is. They say a line, and then they'll say a second line that says kind of the same thing as the first line, but it kind of builds on it. It strengthens it or sharpens it in a way. And we notice right here there's three lines, and each one kind of builds on another. Okay? God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. See how each line builds on the other one? All three lines are emphasizing that God made people. There's value in humans above the rest of creation. They got the poem. Humans are to be fruitful and have dominion over the rest of creation and worship God in that. And verse 31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So imagine, Henry, if I was telling you, someday we're going to take a trip. We're going to go do something fun. And every morning you wake up, and you're like, is today the day? And I said, today is a day closer. And tomorrow the same thing happens. And I say, Henry, today is a day closer. But then one morning I wake you up and I say, Henry, today is the day. Does that make sense? You know there's something special happening on this day. That's what is happening here. And we miss that in the English translation. But in the Hebrew, it's saying a day, a day, a day. And on the sixth day, it says the day. Something happened on this day that's important, and that is the poem, right? God created the crown of his creation, the cherry on top, man and woman. And then we get to I did not take that picture. Then we get to I'd love to, but all right, so let's read this again. In chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. You notice the seventh day is described differently. It doesn't talk about God working. It doesn't say no evening and morning. God rested from work and blessed the seventh day because he was finished. Okay? Now, I don't know if this example is going to work here well, but how I like to remember creation, we have day one. What happened on day one? What was created?
The light.
The light, right? Day two, what was created?
Heaven.
Heavens and the water, yep.
Earth,
water. Sky and water. Day three? The land and sea, right? And then what does God do? This is how I remember, guys. Hopefully, kids, you can remember this too. So we got day one, day two, day three. Then he goes back day four. He fills day one with something. Sun, moon, and stars, right? Then he fills day two with something. The birds and the fish. Then he fills day three with something. The animals and the people. And then the seventh day, he rests and he watches. He set the stage, the theater's made, and now he can rest in his finished work and watch his creation. So, just as I was watching that show and each thing was happening and it kept getting fuller and fuller and it filled my heart, this beautiful sound. I was resting in this beautiful sound. God is resting in all of his creation and saying, this is very good. Do you guys follow me, kids? Follow me? Can you remember?
Yeah.
Days of creation? Okay. So again, lastly, why did the author write this book? Why did Moses give the Israelites Genesis? Why is he writing this? Remember, they are wandering in the wilderness. They needed to know where they came from. They need to know why God created them. They need to have faith that what God says will happen. And they need to have faith that we can only find rest in God's finished work. Okay? I'm trying to craft this sermon carefully because we haven't read that sin entered the world yet, but it's also setting us up for something. We were created to worship. We were created to know that God rests in his finished work. Later on in the New Testament, we would read this. Colossians 1:15-17, Paul writes, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So as the story of the Bible keeps going on, we get a better picture, we get a clearer picture of what's going on. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus, and he holds all things together. So what does this mean for us? Through Jesus, we can be fruitful. Through Jesus, we can exercise dominion. Those things that God is asking us to give up, he's given us his spirit through Jesus to have dominion over sin. And through Jesus, we can worship the way we were created to. So in the beginning, I talked about that stage being set and the musicians creating a beautiful sound. God has set the stage for worship to happen. And what I want to do is end this by reading Psalm 148. So if you turn with me there, or if you just want to listen, that's fine. I just want to finish by reading Psalm 148 as a prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your gift of your word and the account that we can read of how you created things for your glory. Lord, you set the stage, and I pray that we would be a people that worship you well. That's what we were created for, to praise your name. Praise what you've done, and we know the end of the story. Praise what you've done through Christ. Help us to be fruitful in Christ. Help us to have dominion over Christ, and help us to worship well in Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.